Welcome to Wasega Community Church. If you're a visitor with us today, make sure you sign our guest registry over in the corner. I'm Carl Dahlk. I'm one of the elders here. Pastor John Dart is away today. We have a very special guest preacher today. His name is Tonga. He'll be bringing the word a little later in the service. Just to go over some announcements with you. Regular things that are happening in the church, if you have a bulletin, they are on the back of your bulletin. And there are some changes to that for the Christmas season. Of course, Monday we have the prayer gathering here at the church at 2 p.m. Then Tuesdays, on and off weeks, reflections, off week. Wednesday morning at 10 a.m., ladies' vision. Thursday night Bible discussion. That is going to be going on this Thursday and the following Thursday, and then we're going to be off for the Thursday before Christmas and the Thursday between Christmas and New Year's. We'll be off. And then, of course, on Saturday we have a prayer gathering here at 7 p.m. That's with Jim and Grace. We have a little picture on the screen for you. You are all invited to a Christmas party here on the 16th. That is going to be a family gathering. It's being organized by Christina. I imagine Tonga has something to do with it. But anyway, you can come, bring your children. We're going to have a meal together and have crafts and singing and all that kind of thing. A movie. Oh, the movie's very good. She told me what it was. It was called Stars. There you go. Okay, so those are the things that are going on. If you have any questions, you can ask the elders or Richard or Tonga. They'll all give you. The Christmas party on the 16th is going to be at 5. Tonight, at 4 o'clock, at the Rockdale Cafe, is going to be our Christmas dinner. Okay, that's tonight at 4 p.m. Don't forget. Next week, we're selling mincemeat pies. So you all recognize that we have been, the ladies have been dragging those signs out to either side of the church on a regular basis so that people in the community could see that we're having a bake sale or whatever. We would like to have it that we can put it on our signs, have it electronically working so we can change that when we want to. If you want to be a part of that, you can join the ladies' vision, or you can give a special offering, which happens all the time in this place. The carpet you're standing on right now is a special gift to the church. Okay, so I just want you to be aware. It is the Christmas season. People are traveling all over the place, but there are also many needs as well. So when I come up to do the praise and prayer, I'm going to be praying for the needs here in the church and those out there. So let's stand right now and pray for the service. Oh, Father, we have come to this place and gathered in your name to worship you. Thank you, Father, for each one that you've gathered into this place today. Lord, be all that you can be to each of them today. Father, may your word go forth through Tonga. Father, may you anoint him. Please anoint the song leaders today as they lead us in worship. And Father, you be glorified in all that we say and all that we do. And Father, we want to give you all the praise in advance for yourself and all you're doing. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Music team?
Well, I just want to make a quick note that some of us got the memo, the men, that is. And I see that Don got the memo, and Mark got the memo, and Roy got the memo, and Phil got the memo, and Richard got the memo, but the rest of you, where are your checks? That was brought up to me this morning.
For the plaid brothers.
The plaid. Forever plaid. Well, I was going to say, is there anything, I'm going to pray right now for us. But I wonder, I only want one, maybe two. If you have a praise item to share right now that's going on in your life that you can't possibly hold it in, just put your hand up and share with us real quick. Two. Well, one, there's one.
I just thank the Lord for giving me the strength and verse as well, because there's been just so much going on in our lives, and I just thank Him, because every day we come before Him and ask Him to give us the strength and guidance, and He does that, and I just praise Him.
Praise God. One more. Going once. Ah, there's Monica. Thank you.
I just thank God for allowing me to live in Waterside and that I have the money through my life that I've saved up to pay for it.
Yes. Thank you for that. Thank you. Now, I have a list. And this list seems to get longer and longer of the things that we need to pray for. But I know on this list that there are names of people who aren't on this list who would like prayer specifically for something that's happening to you. You know, Christmas is a great time of year, but so many people have trouble during this season. But there are others, even in our midst here, and I've spoken to several of you this morning, who are having trouble in your bodies, trouble in your spirits, just overcome. And I want you to know that this church is a praying church. We believe that the Holy Spirit can move at any time in any person's life. An amen. I heard an amen to that. Now, I'm going to mention these things that I have on my list, and then I'm going to ask, if you have a special need that you're able to stand right where you are, okay, I'll pray for you at the end of my prayer. And if you can't stand, you might just raise a hand if you can't. Okay, these are the things. Rhoda's friend has passed away. We've been praying for him. Heather and Ed's nephew, James, is still in the hospital. Christina is still at home recovering from the surgery that she had. Heather has a sister-in-law's youngest brother, Peter Black. He has been told that he has cancer. And he also has Down syndrome. So he has difficulty understanding what's going on in his life. Then we have to pray for the Monday night meal program. If you can come and join in that to help serve or bring something, you can get a hold of Christina, or I'm sure Donna, because she's involved in everything. Or is that Sheila? Okay. Catherine DeBoer is home from the hospital. Kidney problems have been solved. And the doctors told her that her cancer has not come back. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that glorious? So I'm going to pray for these things, and I want you, if you have a need, just either stand where you are with our heads bowed, you stand where you are, or raise a hand, and I'll be praying for you as well. Father God, we come to you because you are the great physician. You are the great healer. You are the one who takes care of us, no matter what the circumstances we might find ourselves in. That you alone, God, give us the comfort that we need. Father, we lift up Rhoda and her friend who has passed away. Just give Rhoda that inner peace that passes all understanding, Father. Be with the family as they have to lay this one to rest.
Father, we thank you so much for Christina's recovery. Thank you that her healing process is going on day by day. And I know how she leans on you for the healing process. We pray for Heather and Ed's nephew, James. Father, he's going through so much. Father, I pray that you would just open his eyes to you. Let him open his mouth and say, Jesus, you are Lord. No matter what else happens, I'm trusting you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We pray for our Monday evening meal program. Thank you so much for it. Thank you for all those who are taking part. And Father, we thank you for the meals that are prepared, and we thank you for every soul that comes through those front doors. And ask, Father, that we are given the opportunity to plant seed, water the seed, or lead someone to Christ. And now, Father, I'm asking for those who need special prayer today to stand or raise your hand right where you are. I'll see it. Thank you. 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 So many. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you all. Father, every one of these people right now, they are your children. And Father, more than myself, you know everything that's going on in their lives. And yes, Lord, tears may flow. We would like some answers. And Holy Spirit, I pray you to go to each one right now. Move amongst these chairs. Move in their lives. Holy Spirit, we give you. We give you, and we count it a privilege that you can come and minister to each life represented by the standing ones, those who are standing with them, and those who have a raised hand. Father, you know them better than we know ourselves. And so, Father, we pray the anointing to come, your Spirit to move. And Father, we want to give you all the credit. Everything that is going to be done here, Father, we're going to hear of the praise and glory from these people in days to come about how you answered their prayers. And for this, I give you thanks in the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Ushers, you may be seated. Ushers. Father, we take the time right now to lift up the offering to you. We count it a privilege to bring back a portion of that which you have given to us. And Father, we want to put it in your storehouse that you might use it to further your kingdom in Wasaga Community Church, in Wasaga Beach, and around the world. And Father, I thank you now in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.
Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing us all here today and for being here and present with us and healing the people that need to be healed. Could you please anoint Pastor Carl, who
Tonga.
Is
Tonga. Oh,
to Pastor Tonga. Okay, Lord, you know who to anoint. Pastor Tonga, and let him speak through, let you speak through him today. In Jesus' name I ask and thank you. Amen.
Amen and amen. And the scriptural reading for today is Isaiah 9, 2-7. It's from the NIV version. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased the joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder, for as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fueled for the fire, for us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Thank you, Pastor Bach Tonga. Thank you.
Good morning, church. What a great opportunity for me to come up here and preach again. It's been a while. So, I'm really thankful, and what a joy it is to be in the presence of the Lord together. And this morning, I'll be speaking on the hope that Christmas brings. And it's a very common topic, but today, I really want to really dive into the word hope as best as I can. So, in the movie Hachi, that should be a pop one up there. In the movie Hachi, A Dog's Tale, a college professor befriended a stray puppy named Hachi, and the dog expressed his loyalty by waiting at the train station each day for the professor to return back from work. One day, a professor suffered a fatal heart attack. The Hachi waited for hours at his train station that day. And for the next 10 years, he returned each day to that train station, awaiting for his loving master. Luke tells the story of a man named Simeon, who patiently waited for the coming of his master. We see that in Luke. And the Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon that he would not see death until he see the Messiah. And as a result, Simeon kept waiting for the one who would come and provide salvation for the people of God, for God's people. And when Mary and Joseph entered the temple with Jesus, the Holy Spirit go and whispered to Simeon and said, "He is the one." And the wait for Simeon is finally over. Simeon held Christ in his arms, the hope, the salvation, and comfort for all people. Amen. Friends, Christmas season is finally upon us. We can see Christmas trees right here and all the lights, trees everywhere, sending Christmas cards, making Christmas lists, and getting ready for shopping. I don't know about you guys, my kids are already ready. They've already written down all their Christmas wish lists. And I'm like, oh my goodness, that's going to be expensive, yeah? And they're going to probably be disappointed, right? Anyways, and we've seen friends, we've seen friends posting on Facebook all the picture of their baked goods and making us so jealous. And I'm talking about Deanne. She is a great baker, by the way. And, you know, we are all getting ready for Christmas, right? And everyone is looking forward to Christmas to celebrate, and it's going to be an exciting time. So we all are waiting for this Christmas day with joy, excitement, and with such a great feeling of hope. But friends, but what if I told you that the meaning of Christmas is actually much darker? What if Christmas is not about to highlight the joys of life, but to shine a light in the darkness? What if the passages, Isaiah, that we just read were born out of gloom and darkness? What if God's people actually were in trouble during the time that Isaiah wrote? What if God's judgment was about to fall upon the people for being unfaithful? But friends, even in the midst of this judgment, Isaiah had a word from God to the faithful remnant who has been waiting for the Messiah. He said, "The light has come into the darkness." This morning we will discover the hope that comes to us through the birth of Jesus Christ, just as Simeon did. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in need of hope. Hope that you are faithful and you have provided all that we need by sending your Son Jesus to us. We ask that the light of his life would shine into our lives and brings life. We thank you for the hope that can only come from you. And Lord, be with us and speak to us, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as our scripture reading for today goes, from Isaiah 9:2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And on verse 6, we just read, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And as I kind of give you a little backdrop, when we look at the historical context of Isaiah's writing, this was about 750 BC, we notice some poor leadership among the nation of Israel. The people of Israel had been suffering through the reigns of four bad kings. And they are Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. And the Assyrians were rising in power and threatened Israel to invade them. By the way, these guys were not nice people, okay? They were like the ISIS of their day. And they were known for their brutality, okay? And in his commentary, Van Schmeren writes, "Gloom and distress result from the oppression and separation from Yahweh's covenantal love. They were corrupt and had led the people far from God." So there was gloom and darkness, and there was no hope in the nation of Israel during that time. And like I said, Isaiah turned around and said that the Lord would graciously turn their humiliation into glory with the coming of Messiah. Can you imagine waiting for that hope? But the nation is dark and people are going against the Lord. But Isaiah's word brought so much hope into the lives of the remnant, the faithful remnant who are waiting for salvation to come one day. And the theme of today's message is, Christ's child gives us hope to push back the darkness in our lives, trust God for the future, and be in the light. Let me read it again. Christ's child gives us hope to push back the darkness in our lives, trust God for the future, and be in the light. And this morning we'll break our text into 3 points for our sermons, and they will be, first point, darkness threatens hope, light gives us hope, and we find hope in Jesus. First point, darkness threatens hope. Friends, one of the reasons Christmas resonates in our hearts is because we too live in a world that is so similar to Israel. We also live in a dark world, not because there's no light, but unfortunately because our world is full of darkness of sin. One might ask, what is this darkness? Nelson's Bible Dictionary states that darkness symbolizes human ignorance of God's will. And thus, it's associated with sin. In other words, darkness is the blindness of the mind by the reasons of sin. Let me say it one more time. Let me repeat it. Darkness is the blindness of the mind by the reason of sin. Our world is dark and corrupt because of the sin that so easily entangles. And there is war, disease, conflicts, and oppression all around us. The truth is we all walk in darkness until we follow the light that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So friends, Christmas is a reminder that whatever we hope for in our lives, healing, restoration, forgiveness, or a fresh start, it is available to us through Emmanuel, who is God with us. Hope is not a result of the absence of conflict, difficulty, struggle, or trial. Hope, rather, is a result of the presence of God, the light of God within us. Amen? And we too are in the need of Christ's child to usher us into the light, to push back the darkness that threatens hope in our day-to-day lives. Perhaps this morning, we all need God's light in our hearts. Maybe you need God's light right now. And 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 says, "God is light, and in him no darkness at all." Verse 6 and 7 of 1 John states that, If we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us all from our sins. So friends, if you have been blinded, perhaps, by the sin of this life, this morning I would invite us to come to Christ to usher you into the light, to push away the darkness that threatens hope. And we are living in a very dark times, very dark world. Okay, that brings us to our second point. Light gives us hope. The hard part about hope is that it often takes time. It takes patience. Okay? And I want to tell you a story about, agave plant. And there should be a picture up there. It's a common plant that grows. You guys know this plant, right? Yeah, it grows in the southwest desert of the United States. And it's also known as the century plant. Okay, it thrives in rocky, dry, and mountainous desert locations and grow to be just a foot wide. Okay, and this plant can reach 12 feet in diameter and grow to be 6 foot tall. Perhaps its most unusual trait is the reproductive cycle. Okay, so it takes about 20 to 30 years, and this plant remains the same height and puts out no flower for 20 to 30 years. Okay? I don't know if I'm going to have the patience to have this tree in my garden. Okay? But suddenly, and without even warning, a new bud will sprout, and it will rise into the sky at 7 inches per day. 7 inches per day until it reaches a height about, I think we should have a picture up there, 20 to 40 feet high. Isn't that crazy? It's fascinating. Okay, friends, so similar to the century plant, some of the greatest answers to our hoping and longing takes time. Okay, and patience, it takes a lot of patience in order to see the beauty unfold. The Bible tells us that for 7 decades, for 700 years, the children of Israel had lived in exile in Babylon. 700 years. And for at least a couple of times of those decades, they have listened to 2 Isaiah that we just read, preached to them eventually that God is going to free them and so that they can return to their ancestral land. But not yet. And now they just don't have the strength of mind or body to wait any longer. They basically have given up. They thought for sure God has forgotten them, abandoned them, and left them to the will of the Chaldeans, basically to die. Okay, can you imagine? Can you picture that? And I remember the awful feeling of waiting for us to come back to Canada while we're in India for, a short trip turns into 18 months. Okay, and it wasn't easy at all. And to tell you the truth, my impatient nature was exposed badly. Okay, and I'm so frustrated with the world governments and all the politicians and Dr. Fauci. Okay, I'm just kidding. But, I was so frustrated. I'm like, oh, when is this going to happen? We constantly have to cancel our trip at least 3 to 5 times. And I'm like, man, you know what? Yes, my impatient nature was really exposed. And it wasn't pretty at all. But Isaiah has an answer to the children of Israel's feeling of abandonment and also to ours. Isaiah saw that one day in the future, God would bring a great light and salvation through the birth of a child. However, it was not until 700 years that the Matthew's recorded of Jesus' birth in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem. So friends, again, why do we read Isaiah's prophecy each year during Christmas? Friends, This is the reason why we do this. It is because seeing the faithfulness of God in the past gives us a deep and abiding hope in the presence and unwavering trust for the future. Okay? So Christ's child, in a way, gives us hope and trust for the future. Christ's child gives us hope and trust for the future. And I don't know where you are right now. Perhaps you are waiting for a breakthrough to happen in your lives. And maybe you want a situation just to turn around. Most of us get frustrated and lose joy when we do not see what we pray for in the time that we want to see. Okay? We get frustrated. And I think of Elizabeth and Zechariah in the Bible. Okay, who did everything right and walked blameless in God's presence. However, they never had a child. They prayed and asked the Lord. They did everything that they could, but they never had a child. After so many years of waiting and probably, of course, losing hope, one day the angel's appearance really shook Zechariah. Okay, and Luke 1:13 says, the angel said to Zechariah, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John." Amen? So today, God is speaking the same message to us, to you. Maybe you're waiting for a breakthrough right now in your life. Maybe you want to see broken relationship got fixed. Perhaps your life is in a mess and you try to fix it. And maybe perhaps you are so tired that you don't even bother fixing it anymore. Or you're waiting for answers from God. And you've been praying, maybe probably not 700 years, maybe 70 days, maybe 7 years, I don't know. Maybe you lost hope in between all of this. Nevertheless, as Zechariah and they have been faithful to the Lord, and they have been waiting and waiting, and they do whatever they can to be faithful to God. Friends, today, if you are that person, God is telling you, fear not, your prayers have been heard. Amen? Fear not, your prayers have been heard. Christ's child gives us hope and trust for the future. And this brings us to our last point. Today my preaching is going to be fairly short because everyone is looking forward to go for their dinner. So I don't want you guys to keep thinking about the steak tonight. So I'm cutting it short. Yeah. So the third point is we find hope in Jesus. We find hope in the arrival of Jesus Christ. Though there are many distractions during the Christmas season, perhaps that's with all of us. But this message that today that we talk about is a reminder that hope is offered to us through Jesus' arrival in the manger. And I want to tell you a story about Stella Thornton that I read about from Dr. James Dobson's. And this is the story that he wrote. And so Stella Thornhope, who was struggling with her first Christmas and, you know, really losing hope because she just lost her husband. So her husband has died just a few months prior through a slow developing cancer. Several days before Christmas, she was almost snowed in by a brutal weather. She felt terribly alone. So much so that she decided she was not going to decorate for Christmas that year. Late that afternoon, the doorbell rang, and there was a delivery boy with a box. He said, "Mrs. Thornhope, would you sign here?" She invited him to step inside and close the door to get away from the cold. She signed the paper and said, "What's in the box?" The young man laughed and opened up the flap, and inside was a little golden Labrador retriever. The delivery boy picked up the pup and explained, "This is for you, ma'am." He's 6 weeks old and completely housebroken, so the puppy began to wiggle in happiness being released from the captivity. Okay? And she said, "Who sent this?" The young man set the animal down and handed her an envelope and said, "It's all explained here in the envelope, ma'am. And the dog was bought last July while its mother was still pregnant. It was meant to be a Christmas gift for you." The young man then handed her a book, "How to Care for Your Labrador Retriever." In desperation, she again asked, "Who sent me this puppy?" As the young man turned to leave, he said, "Your husband, ma'am. Your husband. Merry Christmas." She opened the letter from her husband, and he had written in 3 weeks before he died and left it with the kennel owners to be delivered with the puppy as his last Christmas to her, gift to her. And the letter was full of love and encouragement and admonishment to be strong. He vowed that he was waiting for the day when she would join him in heaven. He had sent her this young animal to keep her company until then. She wiped away the tears, put the letter down, and then remembered the puppy at her feet. She picked up the golden furry ball and held it to her neck. Then she looked out the window at the lights that outlined the neighbor's house. And she heard from the radio in the kitchen the strains of "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." Amen? Suddenly, Stella felt with the most amazing sensation of hope washing over her. Her heart filled with joy and a wonder greater than the relief and the loneliness that she experienced. "Little fella," she said to the dog, "it's just you and me now. But you know what? There's a box down in a basement I bet you'd like. It's got a little Christmas tree in it and some decoration and lights that are going to go to impress you. And there's a manger scene down there as well. Let's go get it." Friends, with this Christmas, I want to remind us that the wait is finally over. Amen? Jesus, our wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, is here with us. Our God is always right on time. He knows exactly what you need, what we need. He hears your prayer and your cry. He can be trusted to reveal the light of Christ in order to push back the darkness in our lives. In a land full of deep darkness, a light has finally come. Friends, if you allow me this morning, I'd like to take some time to invite you to express your hope in God by bringing anything that weighs you down, that weighs your spirit down, okay? That weighs heavy on your heart. I'm going to begin our last prayer, and I'm going to offer you a moment of silence to speak to God, and then I will close us in prayer. Is that okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are faithful and you have provided all that we need by sending your Son, Jesus. Through this, we now have hope to live a life of abundance. God, if there's anyone in this room this morning who are suffering from any form of sicknesses or ailment, or those battling mental illness, or families that has been torn apart by divorce, abuse, abandonment, or any other circumstances, I pray, Lord, that they are able to, that they will be able to find hope in you, Lord, a hope that Christmas brings. I pray for the families that are on the verge of maybe being torn apart. I pray, Lord, that you will bring healing in their lives, that you will heal them right now, and that they may find hope in you, Lord. And God, we offer to you the areas of our lives where we need your presence, Lord. If there's anything, Lord, that weigh heavy on our heart, This morning, Lord, we bring it to you. Church, this is a time that you may speak to God in silence. If there's anything that weigh heavy on your heart this morning, God, we trust you today with our very lives. We thank you for loving us in our mess and also in our brokenness. Lord, you are a merciful God, a loving Father. You are perfect and we are not. Thank you for loving us even in all our imperfections, in our brokenness. In the lowest state of where we are, you still love us, Lord. Lord, we look forward to seeing how you will come through in all the circumstances that we go through this morning. All over the world, we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Worship team, please come back.
Before I pray, just remind you all that if you are going to the dinner tonight, remember it's at 4 o'clock at the Rockdale. Okay? And if any of you are going to go and come join in the family dinner here on the 16th with Christina for children and families, dinner and crafts and a movie, please let her know so she can somehow come up with proper food for that day. Okay? Here's what the Word says to me after what Tonga has preached this morning. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Heavenly Father, thank you for this people. Thank you for Tonga's words. Thank you for the worship team. Thank you, Father, you're so good to us. And now, Father, as we go out into the highways and byways, Father, I pray you would go with us. And let the hope that is within us be seen as the light of the world. We thank you now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And amen.